God gives us his grace for all of life. Our salvation is by grace, right? The fruitfulness that we bear is by his grace. But we are actually called to pick up the tools that he's given us and get to work building that destiny that he has for us. So last week we began with this statement right here that says this, that God has a destiny for each of us. It is a unique design to maximize our fruitfulness. Every one of us has a destiny in him. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. There is a destiny that God has for you, and I'll even say it doesn't matter how good you have been or how bad you've been in your yesterdays, that your tomorrows are to be marked by new fruitfulness in the Lord. It's his destiny for you to be fruitful. This is so much a part of God's heart for you that the very first words that we have recorded of God speaking to humanity are these words, be fruitful. Did you know that? Genesis 1, 28, the very first words spoken by God to humanity. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. It is absolutely woven into the DNA of how God created humanity, is that his design is that we would not be barren in our lives, in any area, relationally, emotionally, mentally, the things that we can struggle with, physically, spiritually, in every area of our lives. God calls forth fruit. And he's designed our lives in a very particular way to maximize that fruitfulness. And even more, we looked at this scripture last week of what Jesus said, that not only did he create all of humanity to be fruitful, but he said this to his followers, to his disciples. He said, this is to my Father's glory that you would bear. How much? Come on. How much? Much fruit. To his Father's glory that we would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So not only is there a general call on all of humanity, even that neighbor you don't like, God wants them to be fruitful and has designed something for their life that maybe they haven't discovered yet. But then to his followers, there's even this heightened call that if we're going to bring glory to God and even reflect the fact that we are his followers, his disciples, he is saying to each one of us, I didn't create you for just a little bit of fruit. I created you for maximum fruitfulness. So come and walk in it and experience fruitfulness in your life. Last week, I shared a little picture. I actually drew it for you. And I've kind of recreated it right here for the coming weeks. And I talked about our destiny being like a two-story house. That it's not just one thing, that it's actually a couple of very important things that we want to wrap our minds around. That our destiny is kind of like what you're seeing right here, a two-story house. Now, number one is built on a foundation. And that foundation is Jesus, right? We don't build our lives on philosophies of man. Those are great. Those can be helpful. But that's not the rock that we have to dig down deep to get to that Jesus talked about. We have to dig down deep and set our lives on the foundation of Christ himself. If you haven't done that day, I'm glad you're here. We're about Jesus. We're Jesus people. We're Jesus freaks, okay? You may have pointed your finger at somebody, called somebody a Jesus freak. Well, You're sitting around a whole bunch of them. And so I'm really proud of you for braving this environment to say, oh my gosh, I'm walking in. Man, it's Mother's Day. I got drug along here with a bunch of Jesus freaks. Listen, our lives are just so about Jesus. And when our lives are built upon him, we can become like him. And you realize that Jesus freaks are kind of cool to be around because they love more than people who are not Jesus freaks. They care more. They empathize more. They're more generous. They're more kind. They represent the very things that Jesus represented as he walked on earth and the things that we saw in him. So we build our lives on Jesus and nothing else. But there's two floors to this, and this is what we talked about last week. You can go back and listen to the podcast. But that first floor we called this. We called it rock solid faithfulness. Would you say that with me? Rock solid faithfulness. That is our calling to, as we begin to construct our lives on the bedrock of Jesus, that we would learn to be faithful. Last week I shared my favorite scripture in all of the Bible, Hebrews 10:23, that starts out with the words, "Let us hold unswervingly." Like, I am not going to swerve. I know there's going to be lots of opportunities to swerve. There's going to be storms that are going to come. There's going to be temptations that are going to come. Life throws a lot of curveballs our way. But my knees are not going to buckle. When that curveball looks like it's coming from my head, I know that God's got me. And so I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to swerve. And it's like this first floor of building a rock solid faithfulness in him. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. So I want to tell you about the second floor, because not only are all of us to create the same kind of first floor, this rock solid faithfulness, but we're also to build on that. And this is what I'm referring to as your prophetic assignment. Now, all of us are called to build the same kind of a first floor. Faithful, faithful, faithful. My calling is no different than yours. My destiny building is no different than yours. I am called to be faithful just like you are. You're called to be faithful just like the person sitting next to you, having that rock solid, unwavering faithfulness built on Jesus. But then there's this whole second floor. And this is where things kind of get cool and different and unique, and why every house is a little different. Because God doesn't just have you called to be faithful. He has a unique assignment for you. Teddy, your assignment is different than mine. Hector, your assignment and your calling is a little bit different than Teddy's and different than mine. Carla's, your assignment is different than all of ours. Each one of us has this second floor reality. Now, some try to build that second floor first. As we talked about last week, it don't work so well. Because our lives can collapse under the weight of our prophetic assignment if we have not built that sturdy first floor of faithfulness, rock solid faithfulness. As we build in this order, it's on Jesus. Right? And because he is faithful, I can be faithful. Because he is faithful, I can be faithful. Okay? You following? Building this rock solid faithfulness in on him that then will support the weight of this second story. The second story. God has a new story for you. And the second story is the unique one that has just got your name on it. Now, the Apostle Paul had this mentee, right? He was the mentor. He had a mentee. The mentee's name was Timothy. It's a young man who traveled with Paul, who got released in all kinds of ministry. And Then he went as a young man to become a pastor of a church. And as Timothy went off to be a pastor away from Paul, well, you know, they didn't have cell phones. He couldn't text him, couldn't call him every day. Hey, checking in, how you doing? So what he would do is he would hear how Timothy was doing, and he'd write him a letter. We have two of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy. And when you read these letters, thinking about what we're talking about here, about this two-story, about building a rock-solid foundation, right? Or a rock-solid faithfulness on the foundation of Jesus, and then learning to live in your prophetic assignment. Man, you see that all through these two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. But I want to give you a short little part of one of those letters, and we're going to be using this as the foundation now for our next weeks, talking about how we're going to go about building this destiny, and in particular, building this rock-solid faithfulness, this first-floor reality that will support our prophetic assignment. The part of the letter I want to just draw your attention to for a moment before I invite Ron to come is in the end of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, and the verses are 12 through 16. And this is what the mentor, Paul, is telling his spiritual son, Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect. Go to the next slide. Do not neglect. Oh, sorry. Bad on me. Hector, you're doing a way better job than me. Go back to the first slide. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message. Now here, I just want you to look at those words. Don't neglect your prophetic assignment. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Then he goes on and finishes with this. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. An amazing passage that we're going to be coming back to in the next weeks. But as I get ready to invite Ron up, I want you to look at four things that are going to help direct us and our attention to this two-story reality. Four things. You can go ahead and put these up here. Four things that Paul says, but I'm going to give them to you a little bit out of order. The first thing is what he said at the end. Paul says, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Can I tell you, right there, that is maximum fruitfulness. Not only when you are walking in your salvation, but everyone in your audience is too. Everyone who God has given you influence over, they're also walking in salvation. Man, that is fruit. Come on, mamas. When your babies are walking in the ways of Jesus, that's fruitful, right? If you're a mom or your dad, there's nothing more joyful in your heart and no better fruit. It doesn't matter how much money you got in your bank account. It doesn't matter what position you get at work. When your children are walking in the ways of the Lord and their lives are secured in Him, you're going, that is the kind of fruit I want, Lord. And that's the goal. And that's the goal, and even beyond your household, where you work, where you go to school, in your neighborhood, that people are being influenced so much by Jesus, by the way you're living your life, that not only do you get salvation? That's cool. But that ain't maximized fruitfulness. The maximized fruitfulness is when not only you are secure in your salvation in the Lord, but everyone in your audience is too. Secondly, he says this, do not neglect the gift, your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message. This was like right in the middle of what he said. That's right in the middle of this little paragraph. And this has to do with that unique prophetic assignment on Timothy's life. He had obviously been called as part of his destiny to pastor a church. And for some reason, Paul is needing to remind him of his second story. It wasn't his first story. It wasn't where he started in the Lord. He had a lot of discipling and a lot of faithfulness to build in his life before he was able to walk into that second story of his prophetic assignment. But Paul is saying, don't forget it. This is part of your destiny, not only to be a faithful follower of Jesus, but to walk out your full destiny in me. Third thing he says is right towards the end, he gives this phrase, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Would you say those two things with me? My life and my doctrine. Say it again. My life and my doctrine. I think those two words, you could almost say, are shorthand for everything that is needed in that first floor. When I am persevering in and watching closely over everything going on in my life and everything going on in my beliefs, guess what? We're going to build that rock-solid faithfulness built on Jesus. My life and my doctrine. We get really fancy here, master's level conversation here. My orthodoxy and my orthopraxy. My right beliefs and my right living. Okay? And then we could even go deeper, and maybe we will in a couple of weeks when another message comes about our orthopathy. About even a right way of emoting in everything that is related to my heart. I believe that's like shorthand. Watch your life and your doctrine. But then I want to take us to this last thing, which is actually up at the beginning of this paragraph, because I think this is in some ways explanation of life and doctrine. He goes a little bit deeper and he says five things. He says, these are the things that you need to watch out for, and you actually need to set an example in these areas. I believe that these five areas are the building materials that God has given us for this first floor. Okay? You ready? In our speech, in our life, the way that we love, the way that we believe, our faith, right? And our purity. Walking in a purity. These five things, really, I believe, are the building materials that God has given us that we might build this rock-solid foundation. And isn't it interesting that the first one that Paul says to Timothy, if you're going to build this rock-solid, faithful life in me, is watch your mouth. Pastor Ron! Come and talk to us about our mouths.
Greetings, beloved. Pastor Tim called me after we had a leadership meeting last Saturday. And he called me, and I had this low voice, and he said, hey, bro, you sleep? I go, no. Well, what's going on with you? Oh, man. I'm good. What you got? He said, I need you to speak. I go, what? On what? Speech. Oh, Jesus. I said, man, you got to hear this. Back in my military day, back not long ago, I had a huge responsibility in infrastructure for space lift. And to shorten this story, my senior commander came to me and said, hey, I need you to reevaluate. I have to go back into the records, go back to the Pentagon, and reevaluate this one potential offer so they wouldn't win. I said, what? I said, that's perjury. That's lying. That's 25 years in prison, $250,000 fine. So I told him, you can go to, and not heaven, but the other H. And when I said it, I didn't care. Because I was trying to protect my life. Now, he went to my boss. And my boss came and asked me, did you say that? And I go, I will say it to you. So I need to go repent to him, Pastor, as well. So Saturday, this person is in a leadership conference with me. And I had seen him 2 weeks before. God gave me an opportunity to repent to him then. I brushed it off. So for me to come and talk to you about speech, I am the example of what you don't do. So I went early that Saturday because I knew he would be there. And I said, bro, what I said to you 14 years ago was not right. Yep, I did. 14 years ago. You know how many sons have sat down on my anger? And I realized I not only impacted him, but he impacted me because he was the person to endorse my leadership over the base as the director. I was sitting there waiting to be approved. The 3-star already gave his signature, but he remembered my behavior and my attitude, and it impacted my destiny. 14 years later. So I want to thank the Lord for Pastor Tim giving me the opportunity to partner with him to be a member with you in church. Those of you that have been in my EHS, raise your hands. So what's my favorite saying? What happens in the house? There we go. I don't want to read about this in the Lompoc Record. I want to start with that word set. An example for believers in speech. It involves doing, saying something, acting a particular way where others would actually emulate you or imitate you or copy your model or how you behave. Our speech can either be healthy or it can make someone sick. A lot of times when in our relationships we say things to people that we don't mean, it causes a sickening feeling. You don't have to raise your hand. I know. I'm the one who's caused sickness. I'm the one who has been made sick. I'm going to take that word, don't let nobody put you down. I'm going to give you a word. It's Greek. In the early writers wrote the word despise. But what it really means, it's contempt. Everybody knows the word contempt. If you have ever gotten a speeding ticket, like myself, and then you don't go to your appointed time to court, you are actually in contempt. And there is a warrant for your arrest. And usually the police officer will ask if you were pulled over, do you have any warrants? No, officer. Well, here it says you didn't appear to court. Ka-ching. When a point of conversation and relationships, when someone despises you, what's happening is that there's a disdain, a disrespect, and sometimes in despising, someone just doesn't like you. When I first got born again, all my friends left me. They totally disrespected me because I changed my fellowship address. And they did not like the light that I was bringing forth in their darkness. When Paul was telling Timothy, be, what he was saying was, become. That's the Greek word for it, become. Paul is saying, keep on becoming by speaking well, building well, and walking well, and walking out your life by the word of God. That's how we become an example. You know, the more that you put the word of God in your heart, the most likely it's going to help you in your speech. Something I learned from the guys that work out in the fields, I met Mr. Espinoza, and I asked him a question. I said, how do you really control the fields and making sure that your harvest is good? Besides the pesticides getting rid of bugs, what do you do for the weeds? You know what he told me? He said, if I plant enough good fruit, it'll choke out the weeds. And so as we are moving, as we're building our destiny, it's incumbent upon us that we continue to meditate into the word of God, meditate day and night, and get the word of God in you to help you root out some weeds that may have inadvertently grew in your garden. We'll go to slide 2. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I call this building my destiny challenge. I really do. Because while I'm saying something good and speaking something good, there's always the opportunity for something to get into my heart and me to say something different. I asked Sergio not long ago, I said, brother, ask me the hard questions. I'm ready. Pastor Tim asked me when I first made an endeavor to partner with him, can I ask you the hard questions? And he did. And I had to be sure that my speech was honest so that he could see that he can trust me. Here's the things I'm struggling with. Here's the things that I'm doing good. So when he asked me to speak on this, I still need to become. Right? Thank God. Is there anyone in here perfect? By the way, if you are, you are in the wrong place. But we are becoming, amen? So the opposition that you and I receive is an equal opportunity. Comes to the old, comes to the young. We all are challenged with the idea of being despised by someone, and especially in leadership, and especially for Timothy being young, and he had all those old geezers who thought they knew what they were talking about. I try not to do that to the young people myself. But some of them I do kind of get in their face and looking around to see, where's Jesse? Contempt is felt in the mind, beloved, as a result of an injured heart. That's what despise, when you're despised, it injures your heart. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. Contempt goes right to the heart, causing a wound, and immediately the heart tells the son, tell them how I really feel right now. There's an expression of the heart that comes from the tongue. Contempt is designed to abort your spiritual development. If you allow contempt to be in your heart, it will impact your destiny. You can work and work and work. You can study and study and study. But you and I both know that when we sin against one another, we should ask for forgiveness. Amen? Contempt eventually destroys relationships and hinders the ability to partner with others as you build your destiny. You realize I need every one of you in order for me to do what I'm doing here? Do you realize that every one of you are very important to pastoral leadership, to senior pastor, Pastor Tim, Pastor Kelly? God gives them to us. And if we feel and know that we are assigned to this house, we should be doing everything we can to build together. Amen? Yeah. Go to the next slide. Guard your heart. Scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, everything above everything else, guard your heart. Because it flows the springs of life. Never talk deceptively and don't keep company with people whose speech is corrupt. When you were born again, you should have looked and sought for new friends. Because bad company will corrupt you. People who do not speak the kingdom language, the God language, will be like birds. You know, one day I was asking the Lord, I said, where is all these weeds coming from in my yard? And then I noticed that there's a bunch of birds in there. And I said, they must be dropping seeds from somebody else's yard. I want to tell you something. It doesn't take a lot of effort for weeds to grow. I mean, I plant grass and everything else, and I labor for the right fruit to come forth, and yet a weed will pop up, and I don't have to tend to it. I don't have to water it. I had a weed growing in my garden, and from a distance, I thought it was one of my collard greens, and I told my wife, that looks like a familiar. It doesn't look familiar, so I walked up on it, and I said, look at this weed perpetrating like a collard green. If you're not careful and you don't guard your heart, things will come in and try to look like Jesus and yet uproot everything that's about you. Proverbs 16 is one of my favorite proverbs. It says, the heart of the wise shall instruct my mouth. You get wisdom from the word of God, and it helps bring balance in your life, and instruct your mouth, and shall add grace to your lips. Verse 24 says, well-ordered words are as a honeycomb. I've eaten a honeycomb before. That's something sweet. Someone asked me when I had a honeycomb, they said, you can eat that? I said, the Bible says, so I'm going to try it. You can eat honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. That's why I say your words, when you use your words properly on behalf of others, you can bring life to them. If you do not use your words properly, you can bring death to their destiny. Amen? I woke up this morning. Of course I did. I'm here. I say stuff like that. You ever notice when you're somewhere and you say, I'll be back. I gotta go to the restroom. How many have done that? Why do you gotta tell somebody that? Because see, our words speak our destiny. I really don't care about the details. Go do what you gotta do and come on back. God gave us the ability to speak so we can speak and walk into our destiny. I tell you all the time, I love you. And some of you I'm working on my love. But I say that because I do. I make every effort that I can become what Christ says in spite of what my wife knows at home. As I was doing this study, I went downstairs and said, honey, I need to repent. She said, for what? I'm not sure if I said something to you that messed you up, but I'm telling you, this message is just really causing me to repent. All right. I looked at Psalms 1 and 1:3. How much? I got, what, 5 minutes, Pastor? In Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people or take the path of sinners or join the company of mockers. Rather, his or her delight is in the teachings of the Lord and reflects on his teachings day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of the water, a tree that produces fruit in its season and does not wither. He succeeds in everything he does. Go to slide 5. And then I'm going to finish this. The reason why I read that scripture to you, the Spirit of the Lord gave that to me this morning. And I've never seen this before, Pastor. He said, we are like river. Out of your belly or out of your heart is another rendering. Flows like a river of life. And the Spirit of the Lord said, every one of you are a stream. Because that's how a river is developed. And as we flow together, we create a river. Wolf Creek, I live by Wolf Creek, that flowed into the Miami River, that flowed into the Ohio River. And I'm not sure about this one, but I'm certain I remember in my geography days, I think the Ohio flows into the Mississippi. In other words, the Mississippi didn't become the river by its own self. It started by some streams. Some tributaries. And that's what you and I are. We are tributaries in this process of building our destiny so that we can have a river of life. So when people come in here, we got a flow going on where people can grow and be nurtured. Peter said this finally. Peter, 1 Peter. Yes, 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Let me read this to you. I titled this, Speak Well, Build Well, Live Well. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, reveling for leveling, reveling, that means abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, and that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him or her refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. By the way, Peter's talking to the church. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on you, the righteous. And his ears, he's listening, are open to your prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter wrote this because he captured this particular passage of scripture from Psalms 34. And if anyone ever needed to understand how words get you in trouble, we heard about a couple of weeks ago, he denied the Lord. He used his tongue to disguise the fact that he had a relationship with Jesus. That little girl said, hey, you were one of them. Not me. Jesus was being challenged by the courts. And the little girl said, hey, aren't you one of them? Not me. Peter had already been told by the Lord that you would deny me 3 times. And that third time, the rooster would announce your denial. Can you imagine a rooster prophesying to Peter? I want to tell you something. God will do some things to get your attention. And that rooster talked to Peter, and Peter knew he messed up. But yet Peter was able to quote the scripture and said, look, I know about speaking bad. I know about what will happen to you and how your destiny. And Peter thought his destiny, he thought that what he had established with the Lord, that his destiny was over at that moment. But God, through the Lord Jesus, called him back and said, go get Peter and strengthen him. Let him know I need him. And I want to say that to you this morning. We need you, Pastor Tim.
Good word, Brett.
Thank you.
Good word. What a good word. I believe that these five things, these areas that are I referenced as the building materials, there's an opportunity in each one of them for them to become fruitful as part of our maximized fruitfulness that God has destined for us, or do the opposite and be destructive. In all five of these areas, in our speech, in our life, in our love, in our faith, and in our purity, all five of those can either build towards fruitfulness or can build towards destruction. Many of us, and man, I'm so grateful for Ron's humility in just sharing a little bit of story on himself, because we have all been there, and we have all said things that were destructive. We have all said things, and you know what? I couldn't help but think, God, you're giving us this word today on Mother's Day. So many words have been spoken in family contexts that have built towards destruction, barrenness of relationship. Things that were spoken sometimes just out of youthful ignorance. You know, I think I know it all, so I'm just going to tell Mom what's up. Uh-huh. Or sometimes maybe we even thought Mom truly did deserve things because, well, her life was not perfect. And moms have messed up. Moms have done things where they were not building towards fruitfulness. And sometimes we feel it is our responsibility to call those things out. Which is also not helpful. And so we heap condemnation and we can heap shame and further the brokenness of relationship. God has given us our words to either build towards destruction or build towards fruitfulness. And I'm just wondering that perhaps today, if you are a child, and all of you are, all of us are, that if there has been brokenness between you and your mother, or maybe Mom's gone, maybe Mom has passed on or is so distant and removed that you don't have access to Mom any longer. But what if today God would use you to build toward a new destiny in your relationship with your mother? That God would use your words to bring encouragement, to bring hope, to bring healing, rather than to compound the brokenness that perhaps has been there. And if you've got a great relationship with your mom, well, then just bless the heck out of her. Surprise her with even more love and more joy and more gratefulness and honoring and respect. But use your words to bring healing. And if you're a mom, maybe you would do the same. That wherever there has been brokenness, that God would give you wisdom and insight and just the nudge of His Spirit to say, speak to your kids in a way that is going to build towards a new destiny. Because God is a redeeming God. And no matter what has been in our yesterdays, He has a new destiny for us in our tomorrows. And it's a destiny that includes much fruit. Jesus, would you help us now, Lord? Lord, to build towards a destiny that is a fruitful one. Lord, that not only would we be saved, but Lord, all those around us would be as well. Help our fruit to be shown in the lives of others. In Jesus' name. In that scripture, Paul said to Timothy, that not only will you be saved, but your hearers will be also. But I think first we got to say, am I saved? If I given my life over to the Lord, am I building my life on the rock of Jesus Christ? Or have I been trying to build on the sand? Have I been trying to build anywhere else, trying to do it my way rather than do it his way and to build my life on him? He's already offered his forgiveness. He's already offered his salvation. He went to the cross to purchase our salvation, that everything in our past would be dealt with and put under his precious blood, that forgiveness would be ours. And so I'm just going to ask, if you are not sure that your life has been built upon the solid rock, the foundation of Jesus, but you want that desperately, you're like, God, I do surrender all. I surrender everything of my life, put it into your hands, both the good and the bad, the healthy things and the broken things. I give them all to you. I need you to be my Savior. I want to build my life on you. And if that's you, I just want you to stick your hand up and look at me and say, yeah, that's me. Today, I am saying, I am declaring that today I am going to build my life on Jesus. I'm proud of you, Mama. I am proud of you. Today, new destiny, because new foundation. Bless the Lord. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Today, new foundation, new destiny in him. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Lord, for every mama that's here, would you bless her and would you bless the relationships in her home? Ones that are good, make them better. Ones that need help, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, would you bring everything that is needed in Jesus' name.